too much about Branch Rickey.
Well, I knew him.
Yeah.
Now, when I was at the Spokane Ball Club, we worked with Brooklyn. He was with them then. Now, Branch is a fraternity brother also.
Oh.
And I needed a catcher up at Spokane.
Yeah. What year was that, more or less? After you were finished in the big leagues?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was a general flunky up there, general manager or something. But
yeah.
We had Ben Garrity as a manager, and we outdrew a lot of AAA clubs.
I'll be darned.
I got in trouble over it. We'd sell a bunch of tickets. They were reserved, but they no special, just a reserve section.
Mm-hmm.
So some business people buy 200 or 300 tickets. You never knew what day they were going to use them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So they could overflow the place sometimes.
Yes. And I think it would hold about 6,000-7,000, but sometimes we'd have as many as 10,000.
Oh.
I know Sam Collins owned the club, but I was a general flunky. He was hot-tempered and had one leg. He's an old railroad man. He had.
Yeah.
Half a leg gone, and he'd get mad at over a penny or a dime, something like that. It was a couple thousand that didn't faze him.
Uh-huh.
You've seen people like that.
Oh, sure.
Anyway, these people were arguing about not being able to get in with their seats, you know, which was, they had a legitimate argument coming. Well, one of the bat boys or somebody came and told me, and I went out in front and told them to come around to the side gate and they all get in and keep their tickets, use them at a different time, but they still have to stand.
Yeah.
Well, that was against the revenue people. Of course, I didn't know it.
Yeah.
So I got in trouble that way. But
there are worse things.
Yeah. Well, they didn't put me in jail or anything.
No.
I don't know what came of it. But Rickey was I considered him a good friend. I called him Branch, which was unheard of, you know, to all my other associates.
Is that right?
They all had to call him Mr. Rickey.
Mr. Rickey.
Like even Fresco Thompson, who was a buddy of mine.
Yeah.
In fact, we were together in Brooklyn, too.
Mm-hmm.
And he could make a great speech, and I wouldn't know one word he said or what he's talking about. I just love to hear him talk.
Yeah, he could do it.
Like Roosevelt, Franklin.
Yeah.
I love to hear him talk, but I didn't know what he...
Silver-tongued.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like Jack Bryan, William Jennings Bryan.
Yes.
Have you heard him?
I did.
I did. I was kind of young. But
yeah, I heard him. I was mighty young, but I did hear him, yeah.
And we had a senator in Missouri by the name of Reed that could talk
the same
way.
Yes.
But I love to hear them talk.
Well, old Branch is one of the wielders of influence in Major League Baseball.
Oh, I say. But he could talk about anything. It didn't just have to be baseball.
That's right. Exactly.
Now, I'm not real sure whether I ever heard him swear or not, but I think I did. Like, he and Mrs. Rickey and his secretary, I think her name was Mrs. Jones, and young Branch.
Mm-hmm.
They all were in Spokane. And, of course, we all had dinner down at the Davenport Hotel together, and I want to talk baseball. Branch wants to talk fraternity.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to catch a bat. And finally, of course, after the game started, some pop fly went up and catcher bobbled it, or he knew he wasn't used to catching them or something.
Yeah.
Maybe never would catch one. And Brad said, "Is that the best catcher you've got?" And I said, "Yes, that's the reason I've been asking for a catcher." And he said, "Brad, go and get on the telephone, get these guys a catcher." Now, I had an agreement that if they couldn't furnish me a catcher, I could go get one myself. Mm-hmm. Finally did. I don't remember who it was now, but Vancouver beat us out for the pennant that year by less than a percentage point. It was up in the fractions, you know.
Is that right?
Yeah, but Bratz was that way. He was a gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a watch here that when he's with Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
It's just an old Elgin watch. He gave to all of us, yeah. 1951 or 2. And I've been wearing it ever since.
True. Still runs well, huh?
It's dirty. You can take it out of that strap, look at the back,
yeah.
See what year it was.
Yeah.
But they were playing Brooklyn, Pittsburgh was. Jackie Robinson was with them. And of course, all of our old pitchers said they'd really knock him down. Of course, none of us had ever played against the colored.
Yeah.
Oh, I had with playing against the Monarchs, Kansas City Monarchs.
Glenn Wright, infielder, 1925, world famous, something in the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Does that give a year?
Well, the band has discolored it some there, and I can't.
Yeah.
Can't quite get
it clean.
Yeah.
How they
it gives the year 1925.
You can see that, all right.
Yeah. World famous Pittsburgh Pirates. That was your world champion year.
Yeah. Now they gave us I think we all got pennants that year.
Mm-hmm.
Like a pirate's head and on a diamond with. Uh-huh. A platinum diamond with the diamond for the bases. And,
yeah.
And the bats across, right. Silver. And we're training in Lafayette.
Louisiana?
No, I'm with Kansas City now. Mm-hmm. As after the big league.
Mm-hmm.
Peckinpah's our manager, I think. Anyway, I leave my wife did, on a dresser in the hotel room. After the game, it was gone.
Hmm.
Now, the police chief down there was a pretty good friend of mine. I have no idea what his name is now, but he says, I'll get that back for you. But he never did.
Mm-hmm. Pretty hard.
And I never did try to get it duplicated.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. The Red Sox gave me a ring the year we won the pennant. St. Louis, I believe, beat us in the series.
46.
And I gave it to my son.
Mm-hmm.
And another one when we won the pennant in San Francisco, Coast League.
Mm-hmm.
We got a ring about the same as the other one. And I gave it to my wife's husband. Well, for their boy when he grows up.
Sure. See,
those are my son and daughter over there and their families.
Yeah.
But they're around Kansas City, you know.
Uh-huh. Nice looking families.
Oh, they are great.
Yeah.
And the kids are pretty decent. They are when I'm around. Of course, Robin's kids, he's a junior, but we call him Robin.
Mm-hmm.
Those kids are, well, one of them's 15 now, and then
yeah.
13 and 12 or 11. And I said, wonder they didn't kill each other. The other one, Camion, that's the only granddaughter I have, and Christopher.
Uh-huh.
Now, they have a 5-acre place on one side of Olathe, yeah. With a beautiful home, swimming pool, and everything.
Very nice.
He has his own plane, and they've got, well, as far as I'm concerned, they got dough, you know.
Mm-hmm. By our standards of the old days, yeah.
Mine, I'm not talking about yours.
Mine, absolutely.
Robin, Now, he's got 12 or 14 acres on the other side of Olathe.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a lake and a nice house. But
that's good.
And he planted a bunch of trees, for like Christmas trees.
Yeah, yeah.
Get some from the University of Kansas State.
Oh, yeah.
Agricultural place.
Mm-hmm.
And he thinks he'll be about ready to sell time the kids get ready to go to college.
That's when he'll need it.
Yes, he will. But he's vice president of the paper box company.
Yeah.
In Kansas City, Kansas. He travels all over.
Sure.
Except out here.
That's pretty far.
Well, he goes to Boston.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a... They're both good kids and they're both athletic. Robin was a all-state quarterback out of Harrisonville High School.
I'll be darned.
Little school, and
yeah.
Jennifer was a great basketball player.
Really?
Pros wanted her, and I wouldn't let her go pro.
Uh-huh.
And, she was a good golfer. Now she plays tennis.
Yeah.
Her kids play tennis.
Good.
And she jogs and...
That's what everybody's doing these
darn
days.
Near every day. She said she had to go to Leavenworth to play in a tournament, a doubles tournament.
Uh-huh.
And Camion is pretty good for a kid that didn't start early enough.
Yeah.
And Chrissy was playing, but they all the boys play baseball.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, and they, of course, they don't ride very good. I just had a letter from Chris saying that he was just out of track and started in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And his team plays one of Robin's boys' teams, Steven.
Yeah.
They're both country
uh-huh.
schools.
Yeah.
But they're making pretty good grades, and they call me once in a while, the kids do.
Yeah.
I give them a deuce about not riding.
Why, sure.
But he just had a birthday the 3rd, and I enclosed a $20 bill, and he was writing to thank me for that.
Sure, he should.
Said he would probably put it in the bank, and maybe he will.
Mm-hmm. Well, sir, I know.
But they don't all fly together, ever fly together.
Yeah, that's common practice among young parents, and... It's smart,
well,
I guess.
Bud used to fly over fields to
spray.
Yeah. What do you call it? You know what I mean.
I know what you mean. Spraying flights.
But now he sells flight insurance and for the companies, you know, and adjusts claims.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's where he makes most of his money, is adjusting claims, because he gets 20%, he says.
Uh-huh.
And then he buys up the wrecked airplane and sells the part.
Uh-huh.
And he makes about $20,000 a year doing that.
That's smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's pretty smart. And he loves baseball, and he played a little semi-pro around Kansas City.
Yeah. Yeah, well...
But they're a pretty nice family.
There's no nicer consolation than to have your own children and their children turn out well.
No.
I know that, too.
Especially in these drug-addicted days.
My God, yes.
You know, and I used to drink quite a bit, too, after my playing days. And I had to quit.
Mm-hmm.
I went into AA, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't had a drink now for... 35 years, even beer or anything.
I don't think you're about to start again now.
No.
That's great. Well, let me ask you another question or two, Glenn. Obviously, baseball meant an awful lot to you and your... From the time you started it until the time you left it.
Oh, yeah. Everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
Now, baseball doesn't owe me anything. Although I'm still with
Red Sox?
With the Red Sox. And they give me a little something for 6 months out of the year, which helps a lot.
Sure.
I'm supposed to be a consultant or an advisor, which doesn't happen, but...
It's all right.
You sign a contract of sorts that I can't work for somebody else, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I still go to games when I can. I don't go out at night. I don't like to go to night games.
I don't go to too many night games anymore either.
And I get tired daytime, and I stay as long as I want to.
Yeah, that's right. Now, you would agree, I suppose, that there's a difference between what baseball meant to the American public back in your playing days compared to what it means to the public today?
Well, I think there's a big difference. Although, I think in the olden days, it took a fellow longer to get up to the majors.
Yes,
like
it did.
In the high minors, the people got to know them personally.
Yeah. And a lot of them really almost spent their careers in the minor leagues and never quite made that last step.
That's right.
And
they were pretty good
ball players. Great players as minor leaguers, yeah.
Because, you know, now, I know one time I got a fella cut my knee open, sliding into second. Maybe the ball was into the runner, and I went after it. But it was bleeding, you know, and kind of flabby.
Yeah.
The lips of each cut, you know, on either side. I know the trainer, Joe Faston, big colored guy, poured a bottle of iodine on it and then pinned it together with a safety pin. And I finished the game. And afterward, the doctor, Carnegie Tech,
stitched it up, put some
new skin on it and whatnot.
Yeah.
But I mean, nowadays, players with a, you might say, a hangnail, went out for a while. Well, we were afraid to get out.
Right.
We did. Somebody else to have our job.
Yeah. Some of that, I think, is due, some of the difference, is that now there are 10 more teams than there used to be. There are 26 instead of 16.
Yeah.
And there aren't as many town teams around the country, or even not as many minor leagues. I don't know if that means that there are fewer people playing baseball, but somehow...
Well, I think it is.
I think it is, too, and they need so many more in the majors that they don't give them the time in training. Charlie Graham made that point. He says they're not spending enough time in the minors before they come up. They're not really ready for full-time, big league ball play.
Well, I doubt if they are too, because I don't know, like at one time I believe the Cardinals had 26 minor league clubs.
I'm not surprised. Yep.
They had to fill them.
Yep.
They had to have somebody to put on those uniforms.
That's right.
Now, like Dick Frazier, supposed to have bought me for the Pirates. He was a scout. He and Bill Hitchman, and they had one other guy who was a scout.
Yeah.
Chick says he wouldn't have bought me if Fred Clark's daughter hadn't recommended. So I gave her credit for buying me. She still lives in Newkirk, Oklahoma, I believe. Okay. Married a lawyer down there. But they, now they'd help out in spring training. They'd hit fungo.
Yeah.
And believe me, they could hit them. Just that far out of reach all the time. Uncanny.
Yeah.
But, now Chick used to tell me, he'd go through all the minor. They didn't scout high school.
No.
College or anything. They've got the minor leagues.
Yeah.
And the fairly high ones, too, double A at least. And he says if this owner had a fairly good-looking ball player and he needed some money, you'd buy him to help that owner out, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, that happened a lot of times.
It must have.
And it happened a lot more in the lower minor leagues because of a lot of scouts like Runtmar and I can't even think of the old scout that I know very well.
Yeah.
But I can't even think of the name. But they managed and played in the low minors.
Yes.
And they really had to grub for enough money to pay their salaries and everything. And they would deal players off for practically nothing, enough to pay their bills or eating money.
They had to. Yeah.
But I know when I was at Independence, Kansas, why a lot of people could drive up their cars in, you know, alongside of the grandstand up next to the fence.
Yeah.
And if I hit a home run that tied up a game or won a game, they'd all throw money out.
Sure.
I was always too embarrassed to pick it up, but the bat boy or some
you'd
of the other players would.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen that happen in games in my youth.
Yeah, and even in the low minors, to some fan, you get a fanatic that he'll, somebody hits one, he'll push a $5 bill out through the wire.
Or I've seen him go around passing the hat.
Have you?
Yeah, and then go to the dugout and turn it over.
Yeah.
What do you think is the essence or the explanation for baseball having such a grip on the American people all of the years of this century and even beyond? What is it about the game that gets to them?
I think it's easier to understand than ever kid wants to play.
Yeah.
You know, like, even when I was growing up, there wasn't anything else to do.
In that epoch, that was true. You didn't have the competition from so many sports.
No, you're always.
Yeah.
And you're always throwing something.
That's right.
A rock or a cob or.
Yeah, whatever.
Or something. I was always in trouble, I know.
Yeah.
But even nowadays, I talk to fathers, about half my age, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Had a chance to play and always wished they'd have taken it.
Yeah.
Like a lot of guys, I've tried to sign players that didn't want to leave home. Pretty good ball player.
Uh-huh.
I even offered as much as $10,000 to, one colored family, one colored boy. Can't think just where it was now, but they had dirt floor in their house. And he sat on an orange crate or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I offered him $10,000, talking to he and his mother. And, they were told not to sign it. They could get more than that. And I said, that's all I can go. More power to you. Or I asked the mother, I said, you know how much $10,000 is? I don't have any idea. It sounds like a lot of money. Well, it sounds like a lot to me, too.
Yeah.
And it is.
Yeah.
And I don't believe he ever did sign.
Didn't get that extra.
That's
the saddest part of all.
Some of the coaches are the reason for that, you know. And some of the coaches make it tougher for one organization to sign than another.
Yeah.
Well, I never said anything against another organization.
Well, shouldn't need to, no.
Like I signed this Frank Baumann out of St. Louis when I was back in the Midwest. Gave him $85,000 and a $600 salary. Signing to Louisville with our AAA club.
You mean you gave his team, his owner, $85,000 or Baumann himself?
Baumann himself. He's a high school kid.
Yeah.
Just graduated. Big kid, left-hander.
Yeah, yeah.
All scouts were after him. I'm the only Boston scout, but Cleveland had 10 scouts there looking at him.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd seen him the year before, too.
Yeah.
I hated that area to scout because I had, well, Forest Park, you know, you could, there might be 10 games going out there, high school games.
That's right.
And then I had to go over to East St. Louis, which is a, he was tough even then.
Yeah, even then, huh?
Yeah, you were, you weren't safe.
I'll be darned.
But I did it. But anyway, his mom's kid dad was a welder, had his own shop. Mm-hmm. And I tried to get Conan to come down and look at this kid. He said, "I'll get a hold of Gail Howe." He was a farm director.
Yeah.
Well, I called him. He lived in Ohio.
Yeah.
Can't think of his name right now. But he said, "I can't make it." I said, "You got to." Denny, Cronin said for you to. Well, all right. Now he came down and always hot as a deuce in St. Louis, as you know.
Yeah.
And Gail would go out every morning and play golf. Get up early. We'd mm-hmm. stay in there at the Chase. And I'd go out to the welder place and talk to the kid's dad. Mm-hmm. I'd like to play golf too. But
you had business.
Yeah. And Gail was just there to see him pitch, you know. Mm-hmm. So he finally saw him pitch, and it's like he's throwing against the girls' team.
Hmm.
Which a lot of his games were, even pretty good high school, because mm-hmm. the kid was a little bit bigger than most high school kids,
yeah.
more matured physically.
Yeah.
He could throw hard, and once in a while, pretty good curve. Well, all the clubs were whining and dining the family, you know, and they lived up over a grocery store. Nice people, the mother was beautiful, but didn't talk too English too good.
Mm-hmm.
What does that name suggest? Baumann.
Baumann would probably be German.
Well, from some German country anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
That talked German.
Mm-hmm.
And then pioneered. Worked out with them, you know, and all clubs came to St. Louis.
Yeah.
When the Browns were there, too.
Yeah.
And in fact, Veek had the Browns. Well, then they stopped that. Mm-hmm. And I finally, I asked them out to dinner, you know. Mm-hmm. Of course, the mother had to buy a new dress every time and go to some fancy hotel for dinner. And she said, "No," or they both did, said, "Would you mind coming to our place for dinner?" She said, "We haven't asked anybody else." And I said, "Well, that'd be fine, but I'd be mm-hmm. glad to take you anywhere you want to go."
Mm-hmm.
They were lovely people. And, of course, Frank was babied. I signed on a bird dog, who was a milk peddler. Hmm. Because Frank went with his daughter. That didn't do me any good, but you try to work all the angles, you know.
Sure.
Well, and they had a lawyer, and a tax man. Cox was the tax man. And the lawyer, all a famous name in St. Louis.
Huh.
One of the streets is named after their family, but nice guy. And Cleveland, I first offered, Philadelphia offered 50,000. I went to 55.
Mm-hmm.
And then it stayed there for quite a while. Then comes the College World Series at Omaha, you know,
mm-hmm.
my territory. And I couldn't go because I had to, I stayed down there to, because I wanted to bring her home again.
Yeah, protect your interests.
Well, finally, I offered 85,000. I had somebody offered 80. I went to 85 with permission. And I said, that's an ultimatum, that's as much as I can go. I'm sorry, if I was able to go more, I would. And then this lawyer finally calls me. Almost had his name there, but not quite. And said, okay, we'll sign out my office. And I said, I'm going to have a press here and a photographer. I said, it's fine. So Denny and I went down. Mm-hmm. They took a picture. Me on one side of the desk and Bauman right there over my shoulder.
Yeah.
Him signing too. And I'm telling him where to sign. And they get a call from Greenberg. He was with Cleveland.
Uh-huh.
Offer $125,000. And this lawyer didn't like Jews.
Uh-huh.
Now, I don't especially care for Greenberg either, but Lopez was the manager of Cleveland.
That's right.
One of my best friends.
Yeah.
I never said anything about it. Well, the tax man said it didn't make any difference anyway, that much more money wouldn't be coming to you anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So they eased it over. Anyway, the kid had already signed, and not that sure. I'd have torn it up if he'd have said to ask me to, but he didn't.
That's good.
And it's like, Eddie went to Louisville,
mm-hmm.
won 10 or 11, lose one. He got me off the hook anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
But he's a peculiar kid. He went to church 15 times a day.
Gee whiz.
I'm a church man myself, or used
so
to go all the time, but that's like that.
What you call overdoing a good thing.
Yeah. And he went in the service down in Oklahoma, something, Chaffee or someplace.
Uh-huh.
And the pitcher down there pitched him in all kinds of weather and every day and stuff like that, and he got a bad arm.
Yeah, I just checked because I can't remember whether I ever saw Bauman pitch. I think I did, but he had a short career.
He finally went to Chicago.
Yeah, White Sox.
With Lopez.
Yeah. That explains it.
Yeah.
Too bad.
And anyway, this little town in Missouri, Archie, now, I know there were six or seven from that little town of 500 or that vicinity went to the majors. Now, Lewis Garland went to the... helped him sign with the White Sox.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
In fact, Donnie Bush was managing the White Sox at the time, but... And he didn't give Lou a fair shake, according to Lou, anyway. And there was a kid named Swaggart. Might have been two of them. I can't think of all their names.
Uh-huh.
But they were from Archie, or right around there.
Yeah.
And we had a couple of farmers that had played some minor league ball.
Yeah.
Rube Stansbury and a Charlie Pitcher and a Walter Patterson and old farmers, twice as old as I was, or maybe older than that.
Mm-hmm.
They all helped me. And a guy by the name of Ed Cullison, who worked for Dad, had played some ball, and we'd get in a runways there at the lumberyard, play catch, you know. And at night, that's what we did out on at dusk, out on we had one street, main street.
Yeah, yeah.
And we'd stand at one end of it, and somebody else stand at the other, and we'd throw a bandstand in the middle and a watering trough in the by it, you know, for the horses.
Yeah. Well, my little town, when I was growing up, wasn't much bigger than that. It was bigger, but it was pretty small. And we had town teams all up and down the border area of Texas between Brownsville and where I was raised in McAllen. Teams would come down from San Antonio and other places.
When
I grew up a little more, I played semi-pro with them for three or four years.
You always played first?
First and center field,
yeah.
And had some good seasons. and used to say that maybe I would have made it a lot higher if some darn fool hadn't invented the curveball.
Yeah. Well, I hear a lot of them say that to me. That's the easiest ball to hit.
Well, once you learn how.
Yeah.
I can remember, like, yesterday, the first curveball I ever really watched and followed and hit past the third baseman, but they sure had me swinging at him before that. In fact, the curve on the inside part of the plate I could handle much better, but they start one on the outside of the plate and a big wide sweeping curve, I'd chase it to first base.
Well, I've heard a few scouts say that.
Yeah.
But to me, a curveball's the easiest hit because you got to watch it all the way.
You do.
Fastball, you can't see it jump.
That's right. That. No, you can't. And the curveball is almost always slower than the fastball.
Yeah. And, of course, I did play a few games night ball after I was all through in the minors, like with Seattle or Wenatchee, where I managed some.
Yeah.
But you could always tell whether it's a curve or a fastball.
Yeah.
Spitter, you had to watch them.
Oh, my, yes.
But we used to play exhibition game with farm clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good semi-pro clubs.
Mm-hmm.
And they had pitchers. Our pitchers and catchers, they usually paid, you know.
Yeah.
And they had pitchers who could throw that shine ball, or, I mean, it would jump that far. Of course, our pitchers who had more stuff would throw it, and they didn't have any idea where it was going.
Mm-hmm.
They had trouble getting it over the plate.
But yeah.
They liked to throw it.
Well, that was my salvation, was that I knew that most of those pitchers I was facing, the level I was playing on, sooner or later had to come in with the fastball.
Yeah.
And that one I got hit.
Yeah.
One time, I wasn't yet playing, I was too young, but our town team played another one from a few miles away, and the other team had brought in, while he was still a student at the University of Texas, Bibb Falk.
Wow.
And he was pitching.
He was.
And it went to a 17-inning game, no score for, I think, 15 innings, and each team scored in the 16th, and Falk himself drove in the winning run in the 17th.
Wow.
So when I wrote to him a month or so ago, I mentioned that incident to him. He wrote back and acknowledged everything, but says, I don't think I can help you out. The only person I interview these days is my doctor.
Yeah. Well, that.
And who was it yesterday?
Bibb Falk. Where does he live? In Texas?
He lives in Austin.
Wow.
Which is either where he came from or very close to it.
Yeah.
Then Tex Hewson wrote me just the other day from San Marcos, Texas, which is very near Austin.
Oh, is it?
That
Boston pitcher?
Yeah, the old Boston pitcher. That he doesn't think he can do it because he just got out of the hospital and his health is fragile, and he's not as old as a lot of these other people either. Texas.
I don't understand anybody's unwillingness to do it.
Unless they're just feeling so bummed. But the one that really floored me, the answer I got back, a negative one, was from Frank Crosetti, who lives up near San Francisco.
Stockton.
Says, after all these years, I wouldn't remember anything that would be of any interest or importance. Sincerely. That's a lot of baloney.
Well, of course it is. Frank's a swell guy, but he never did. He wouldn't even go to dinners.
Is
he wouldn't talk at dinners or anything.
Yeah. Huh, I didn't know that.
Even a long time ago.
Yeah.
He never comes to any of the meetings we have or get-togethers like golf tournaments where they have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Even up close to me.
I'm still hoping to get to Lefty Gomez, but I haven't made direct contact with him. He didn't answer my letter, but a lot of them don't answer the letters. They just let it slip and fool around. And if you follow it up with phone calls or something, if you tell them, I'm here.
Well, I think Lefty would. If you could ever find, he's pretty busy, Lefty is.
Yeah. What's he do?
He still works for Wilson.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I knew
and
that.
And he goes to talks every place.
Mm-hmm.
He talked at our hot stove league dinner.
Yeah.
This winter.
Is he still living in Novato?
And Gary Hughes lived there too, Yankee scout.
Yeah. And I didn't hear from Babe Herman.
I'm surprised.
Yeah. Some of these people, you know, if they're like Lloyd Wainer, he's not in that nursing home or whatever you said, sanitarium.
I just don't know what's wrong or how.
Yeah. How wrong they are. You can't be sure. So.
No.
Because.
But I think Lloyd would. He's a.
Yeah. I hoped he would very much, and I still plan to try to contact him again. I'll be taking a trip. My wife and I are going in early June for about 6 or 7 weeks to the Midwest through, I got three or four in the Phoenix area. Mel Harder, the old Cleveland pitcher.
He lived down there.
And Hubble and Charlie Graham and maybe Thornton Lee of the White Sox. Then on to Texas, I've got some, and maybe in Oklahoma, and I've got some in Arkansas, some in Ohio, Luke Sewell, for instance.
Well.
And Illinois, around the Chicago area, and a couple I think I may have a chance at in St. Louis. And anywhere, I'll make that swing, and... when I get to the near the place where some of them live that I haven't heard from, I'll try to give them a call, see if they want to talk to me after all.
Yeah.
I don't need all that many people. I need 15 to, I'd like to get between 15 and 25. And give a chapter to each one of 10 or 15 pages for the chapter, and put it together and with certain other details.
That. Fellow from Warren, Ohio. I think he lived in West Virginia, but he taught history just across the line at some, it's an old school.
Mm-hmm.
I'll show you a book. And he had a one-page deal,
mm-hmm.
but the, he had his wife with him, and he told me some strange stories about his reception at different, with different ball players. It kind of surprised me.
Hmm.
When they, most all of us that played ball, well, I think most all of us, like I say, I don't know anything except baseball, and I don't know much about it.
It's true of most of the old ones, and they like to talk
about it. Some of them think, like Gus Thurneil lives here in town.
Does he really?
Now, he thinks baseball owes him a living. He gets a kind of a pension, too, a little one.
Uh-huh.
And he thinks he was blacklisted or something. I don't think he was, or if he was, they must have had some pretty good reason.
I can't understand that.
And a lot of them think baseball owes him a living.
No way.
I'd give him a loanie.
The pitcher?
Who manages the Fresno Giants here.
Mm-hmm. See the old Cincinnati Reds?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, he's not very well liked at all. We all like his dad.
Mm.
And Jim, well, he ever even used to say hello to me. Wade Hoy told him about me one time. Mm. See, Wade was the broadcaster
back there. Yeah, for many years.
And then after that, well, hell, he'd walk across the street to say hello, you know,
mm-hmm.
because he thought I was
somebody
or...
A wheel.
Yeah. Now he manages... but he wouldn't even talk around here unless they paid him.
That's the crowd out of it.
Now,
well,
there's got to
be something like that, I guess. But
well, he's all right, I guess. But I never did hate anybody. It's a waste of time.
That's right.
Right.
But there's some you just don't have to be very fond of, too.
That's right. Like Earl Jones, the left-handed pitcher, was with the Browns. Well, I think he's my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Got for Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and an old fireman. But he went to high school, lived here all his life, his whole family. Now, that's three fellas that are all ex-firemen that are probably my best friend.
Yeah.
And they do things for me and act like they want to.
That's
even
wonderful. Though. I'm sure they do.
Not because they feel sorry for me or
that's right.
But if I don't want those kind of friends, I...
Well, now back in your day, was there a pension plan for major league players when they retired? No?
No.
And since it was put in, it wasn't retroactive. You guys...
No, I think Casey Stengel tried to get it retroactive, but he didn't succeed.
That's a shame.
Because of a lot of the modern players, are, they want it all for themselves.
Well, they don't need it either. They,
I mean, what do we ever do for them? Well,
with the salaries they're getting, by God, if it hadn't been for you, the game wouldn't be there for them to play now.
Well, I don't think so either. I mean, we had something to do with it.
You sure did.
I don't envy them getting these, this big money, more power to them, but they know they're not worth it.
Nobody is.
Some of them admit it, but...
And especially some of the highest priced free agents have been the most dismal flops.
Yeah.
So they release them, pay them off. They got to pay it, but
the
guys never do anything for them. You don't remember any single game or two that stands out in your memory as a high point, either of your personal performance or...
Well, I can't say much about the actual game, but I think the best play I ever made, a lot of people think it should be the unassisted triple play that I made.